The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Declining construction, a shortage of workers, a lack of infrastructure, all some of the many issues that we hear are contributing to our housing crisis. But how can we turn these issues around to expand our construction sector and see more building of housing? Well, Andrew Brownlee is the CEO of the Construction Industry Federation, having taken up the job last October. And he joins me now to talk about this in more detail. Andrew, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat.
So the roadblocks to increasing our housing output, particularly because we seem to be well capable of building hotels and data centres and all the rest, but somehow not housing.
Yeah, look, Pat, I mean, we have an excellent construction sector and one I'm really proud to represent. But I think, you know, I think it's fair to say, I think the clip you played earlier on the broadcast, that we're in the midst of a national housing and infrastructure emergency. We're one of the most competitive economies in the world, but when it comes to basic infrastructure, we're pretty close to the bottom of the pile. So there's a whole range of blockages that need to be addressed in order to get construction output growing to the levels that we need.
Okay. Now, we are told the infrastructure is a real problem. If you want to get a connection to the grid, if you want to get a water connection, if you want to get a sewerage link up, these are problems because we simply don't have the infrastructure. The problem is, it's you guys who are going to build out that infrastructure.
Yeah.
Unless you're doing it, we're not going to have it.
No, exactly. And the projects aren't there at the moment, Pat. And look, I think the Accelerating Infrastructure Task Force report that was published before Christmas, really, really encouraging, sets out a whole range of reforms to address the blockages, you know, judicial reviews, risk profiles and contracts, streamlining all our processes, legislating for some of those critical infrastructure projects. That's exactly what needs to happen. It's really encouraging that they're front loading all those actions in the first 6 months of the year. But what we really need to see now, Pat, is the $275 billion of NDP investment that was announced, all of those reforms put in place, and that translating into a real pipeline of critical infrastructure projects. When are things going to happen? When are they going to be tendered? How much money is involved? When are they going to be completed? That's what our industry needs.
That's all very well. And we keep hearing from the industry, we need a reliable pipeline of work. And yet, anyone trying to get a build done can't find a builder.
Yeah.
So, explain. Well, you know, you're looking for reliable pipelines, and there's a shortage of people to do any a job that anyone wants done. You want an extension done? Sorry, it could be next October before we'll even look at your job.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? There is a pipeline of work there for the small builder. So what's the problem?
Well, I think, look, the beauty of our industry, Pat, is it's so diverse. So we do have small builders, you know, one, two people involved, you know, who are doing that work at household level. But in order to deliver critical infrastructure, you really need our contractors. And our contractors are telling us that there isn't that pipeline of work, that they have the capacity to deliver, that they're actually exporting their existing workforce to take on business overseas. So at a time when we have that national housing and infrastructure emergency, their export business has grown at the four times the rate of their domestic business. So we have the capacity to deliver those big, big projects. We just need to see when they're happening.
Is it the uncertainty? I mean, the projects have been announced. I mean, whether it's a motorway between Cork and Limerick, or whether it's the great Shannon water project that's going to bring water to the capital. These projects have been announced. Is it that you don't really have any security? Even the Metrolink, we're told, it might go to tender next year. Might.
Yeah.
And then how long that process will take. And maybe you guys won't even get the job. It could be a Chinese company. It could be a Spanish company.
Yeah. It's that lack of certainty, which is the fundamental point. And maybe, you know, the fact that the experience over the last 5-10 years is, projects might be announced, but they're not going to happen at the exact time frame that has been flagged. So we need more certainty. I do think there are green shoots, Pat. I mean, we've been briefed that Metrolink enabling works will start before the end of the year. They'll be tendered and commenced before the end of the year. We met Uisge Éireann last week, and the Greater Dublin Drainage Scheme, the water supply project linking the Shannon to the northeast, like they are in train, there are real practical signs that they are going to commence in the near future. So we are encouraged. We have a more positive outlook than would have been the case last year. But we really need to see that you know, the shovels in the ground, you know.
Now, what about bodies on the ground to do a lot of this work? I mean, in spite of all the high-tech developments in other sectors of the economy, the building sector is often characterized as being locked really in the 20th century, if not the 19th. You know, the way you lay blocks for houses, for example, and charging people an arm and a leg to lay a single block, when there are prefabricated methods and there are other technologies being used in other countries that haven't seen the light of day here.
Yeah, but look, Pat, I don't think that's fair. I think there's a really diverse construction industry. And I think if you look at our larger kind of construction companies, they are all fully embedded in modern methods of construction and offsite manufacturing. When I go out and visit the sites, and you know, I'm absolutely blown away by the technology and the innovation which is on show. So yeah, we have a bit to go, but we are absolutely using all the modern technologies and innovation that we need in order to make projects happen. So I think look, there's still a journey to go, particularly our smaller, medium sized members, and we need to help them as a CIF. The larger companies are right in the middle of this.
Most people probably don't understand that they can't get that apartment or that house unless the infrastructure is there.
Yeah.
They don't make the link. So if the government decides to spend huge money on infrastructure, the cries will come from the punter as well as from the opposition parties. You know, why aren't you buying building houses? And they won't look at the nuance. You can't have a house without infrastructure.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And look, we have to really focus on changing the hearts and minds of the population and make them see the value of the infrastructure. If we don't have water infrastructure, you know, the taps might run out, you know, in 5-10 years time in Dublin. You know, I even saw it in my neighbour's WhatsApp group at the weekend. You know, there's now a public campaign because there's a plan to rezone land at a local golf course, you know, in order to build new houses. So you see it everywhere. But a bit like my previous job was at Solace, where I was charged with kind of growing interest in apprenticeship and further education and training. And, you know, I think over the last 6 years, we gradually changed the culture that apprenticeships are more valued. And I think we need to do the same in infrastructure. We need to show people that, you know, in order for Ireland to survive as a relatively wealthy economy, we need to build these critical projects.
It's interesting watching the craftspeople in this building when we refurbed it over the recent months. And it was like trying to service a 747 in midair, because we had to keep going even when, you know, air conditioning wasn't working and da-da-da. But these are jobs that will not be taken over by robots.
No, absolutely not. They're so technical. They depend on human interaction as well. I mean, that's often an aspect of automation that people overlook. Like, you know, in order to get a building right, in order to get an environment right for you and your colleagues, Pat, we need to talk, we need to discuss, we need to figure out the best way of setting things up. And that's a critical aspect of our industry as well, you know.
I mean, it may be possible that someday there will be a robot that'll get into the crawl space between the ceiling and the floor above.
Yeah.
But that ain't going to happen anytime soon.
Not anytime soon. And you still need someone to figure out what it's going to do when it gets in there and, you know, how it's going to deal with unexpected kind of unexpected problems when it gets there, you know. So,
but getting back to the individual building of houses, all the time we hear from developers, they want smaller units, they want single aspect units. They say, we can't afford to build an apartment block. It's too expensive. Now, how can that be in this jurisdiction that it's impossible to build? In other jurisdictions, they build away.
Well, I think, you know, it's because of all the blockages that we talked about. Our apartment design standards were out of sync with many kind of European countries. So the action that the government has taken in the last year will actually make apartments more viable. I think the Department of Housing did a cost study on the cost of an apartment in South Dublin. And when you add up all the different components, it's adding up to the guts of 600,000. So the evidence is there. It is more costly to build than it is elsewhere. And I think some of the changes like the VAT reduction in the budget, that does actually move the dial in terms of making it more viable. We've almost been wholly reliant on public housing development over the last few years. There's been precious little private investment in housing development. Those types of changes are actually giving us an indication that there's an interest in private investors coming back into the housing market in Ireland. And so
what's stopping them? I mean, there are companies, and we can mention one well-known company that's very profitable, Cairn Homes. They can build and sell and make a profit.
Yeah.
Why can't others?
Well, they can build and sell and make a profit, but they can build a lot more than they're currently doing as well, you know. So, I mean, look at different sites.
No, but to build 10 or to build 20, if it's profitable to build 10, let them build 100. You know, if every 10 are profitable, why not build 100?
Well, they would build 100 if there was land to build 100. And I think that's the critical barrier at the moment. We need to zone more land. We need more planning permissions. We need to address the scourge of judicial reviews. And we need to put the infrastructure in place that will let the housing developments proceed.
Now, judicial reviews are very interesting because when you talk to people who pursue them, that there are some judicial reviews, and we saw mediation coming into play in terms of Metrolink and the development in Ranelagh, and that resulted in the judicial review going away, but it also resulted in the state effectively buying or offering to buy the houses of the people who were objecting because they saw, you know, rightly or wrongly, the destruction of their own living environment by the proposal. Most of the time, judicial reviews come about maybe by the state agencies not doing their own jobs. In other words, if you've got a county development plan and the builder decides to hell with that and decides to plan outside the county development plan, then it goes to the council and they may give it the nod, even though it's against their own county development plan. Then it'll go to On Board Plan Ola, now On Commission Plan Ola, and they will ignore the county development plan. So it goes to court and the judge says, sorry, the county development plan is sacrosanct. Go back to the drawing board. Now, that kind of thing is the state not doing its own job, the agencies of the state not doing their own job, say the parks and wildlife people not doing their own job. If something is non-buildable because of the Aarhus Convention, it's non-buildable. And yet they'll allow the process to linger on until finally a judge in some court will say, I'm sorry, boys, you've all disregarded the Aarhus Convention, so get with it.
Yeah, well, look, I don't think we're arguing that judicial reviews don't have their place in a modern, effective legal system. But, I mean, you only need to look at the UK where they have a very similar kind of legal system in place. There's an average of 5 judicial reviews per million of population over there. Over here, it's 26. So it's 5 times the level.
But you know why, don't you? Because they have a rules-based system and they insist on enforcing the rules. We want wriggle room for everybody, for politicians, for developers, for the industry itself. They want wriggle room for councils. They want wriggle room. They don't want to have a rules-based system which says, in this area, Dublin, whatever it might be, you can build 8 stories. In this area, you're only allowed by build 2. We don't believe in a rules-based system because we want a get-out clause for everybody. If there was a rules-based system, there would be no get-out clause. You either do what's allowed by law or not. And that's why they have so few judicial reviews in Britain. The councils and the planners do their jobs.
I disagree. I think the whole processes and the protocol and the sheer amount and volume of information that are required to get projects through. I mean, Sean O'Driscoll's task force report said it now takes twice as long to get any kind of infrastructure project from conception to fruition than it did 20 years ago. So something has changed here, Pat, and something has changed for the worse.
Well, we know that there are some things we've done. We wanted to be the best boy in class.
Yeah.
For example, in terms of doing water treatment plants. We lowered the threshold for the number of people served by the water treatment plant that would require, if you like, an environmental assessment.
Yeah.
We dropped it down to a ridiculously low level. In other jurisdictions in Europe, it's 10 times what we allow. So those kind of things, trying to be best boy in class, have undermined us.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. You know, and you know, let's be honest, you know, the recession led to a real reduction in investment in capital infrastructure, you know, so we're catching up. We're catching up. We're kind of 10, 15 years behind of where we should be. And yet our population's grown by 8% from 2016 to 2022 and could grow by another third in by 2042. So we really need to act now.
Some of the comments. We live in a democratic society. We need judicial reviews, in other words, judicial oversight. I work for a company. We supply large engineering firms and construction firms, and I can concur they are working outside the country because the work is not here in Ireland. And that, as you say, is demonstrably true because those projects are not coming through. But going back to housing, because that's what many of our listeners are concerned about, what would you say to people about when's their prospect of actually getting an affordable home?
Well, look, I mean, I think what we've seen in the last year is real policy intent. I mentioned the design standards. I mentioned like rent controls. We've seen a whole range of affordability measures. So I actually think, going back to that culture point, there is a bit of a mythology out there about housing being completely unaffordable for your person on the street now. I think there's a lot of measures that maybe people aren't fully aware of that can bring them closer to realising that house. I think, look, if you look at the central bank figures this year, they expect housing supply to increase this year. We have the policy initiatives in place.
And yet the housing starts have dropped, as you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's disappointing. But I think, look, the December figures were almost double any other month that year. So it's starting to speed up again. I think the budget measures have helped with that. So.
All right, Andrew, no doubt we'll talk again about these matters. Andrew Brownlee, who's the CEO of the Construction Industry Federation.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.